The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Amid all the construction, dust, office relocations, and general chaos at City Hall right now, the budget work must go on. The city is crafting where to spend your dollars, and they want your input in the process for the 2020 fiscal budget year. How and where do you think these local resources should be allocated? These findings that are gathered will be presented to the City Council in June, and proposed a budget will be shared in early August. Which issues should the City of San Antonio prioritize, and how can citizens help in balancing this budget, balancing it in the way of obligations and also goals for the city? What are the goals and priorities? So you can call in with your questions and comments as we work through the budget. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this half hour with Deputy City Manager Maria Villagomez. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. And Communications Manager Laura Mays. Last year, the budget came into $2.8 billion. Is that what we're expecting this year?
It's too early to tell. We're beginning the process of developing the city budget. So as we go through that process, we'll determine if it's going to be a little bit less or a little bit more.
And also last year, we found $13.2 million surplus, right? And so what happened to that money? And were you expecting another surplus this year, Maria?
Well, we presented our 3+9 financial report to the council. We do quarterly reports to the council. So at that time, we were estimating that we would have about $17 million more than what we adopted the budget. And we recommended to the council to roll that money into the development of the 2020 budget. So those are the latest numbers that we presented to the council.
And so it's the process is you go through all this, you work the numbers, even amid all the uncertainty that we have here with what's like happening in the legislature and other issues that are constantly, you know, in flux. And then you propose the budget, you get the budget, you shape the budget, and just as the budget's getting ready to pass, then city council members come up with all their amendments for certain projects that have popped up at the last minute. So, and it's amazing that this thing works at all. And you're able to still keep San Antonio's financial records in shape and get our solid ratings. So, Laura Mays, can you talk about the communication process with the city and the people about, you know, how this works?
Absolutely. So right now we are in an input process. So those who have time to fill out a survey can visit saspeakup.com. We've actually made it even easier this year. So you can text saspeakup to 55000 and we will actually send you a link to the survey so you can do it from the comfort of wherever you might be. That survey is going to be open through May 11th, but you can also tweet us, Facebook us, Instagram us, just use the hashtag SASpeakUp and share your budget priorities with us.
So then someone could just text you and say, spend more money on bike lanes or whatever.
It'll open up a survey for them so they can actually complete that and take an in-depth survey once they text that number. And it asks questions about bike lanes. It asks about public safety and libraries and all the major funding categories of the city.
But do people get a sense when they do this of how it may seem like, okay, last year, $2.8 billion, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, it's a party. But you realize so much of this money is committed. We have to pay for public safety. That's a big chunk of what we have to pay for. Fire and police, that's a major chunk of where the money goes. And streets and sidewalks and debt and all these other things that are going on. So we just can't throw money at problems or issues, and we have to realize that it's coming from someplace else when we do that. So when you go through that survey, do you get a sense of that?
It is. It's a survey about the general fund, and we do make that clear in the process. And what we always tell residents is, just like your budget at home, as much as I'd like to increase my funding for shoes at home, I know sometimes I got to pay the bills and pick up diapers for the kiddo or whatever that might be. So it's a give and take, and we make that clear in the survey that when you increase and ask for more funding in one area, that does mean we need to decrease or look at other areas to balance that out.
And our number is 210-614-8980, as we talk about the budget for the city of San Antonio and the process we're in right now. So, Maria, how does that work for you with keeping in mind all of the major obligations that the city is committed to? We just can't walk away from those things. And then there's everything else starts flowing in. We have a bucket of money that we save for these other projects, or how does that work?
Sure. So we are starting the budget process now. So what we will do first is, on May 8, we'll be providing to the City Council our second quarter financial report to let them know how we're doing this fiscal year 2019. And at the same time, we'll do a forecast for the next 5 years. So that way the community and the council get a good look at the financials in terms of revenues and expenses in the general fund, being the largest operating fund of the city, about $1.2 billion of the $2.8 billion budget. So we give them this picture of what's available so they can start making recommendations regardless what to add or maybe what to reallocate within the existing budget. So that process, again, May 8, we make that presentation to the council. As Laura mentioned, we start getting input from the community through May 11. And then the next very important phase of the budget will be June 21st. At this session, the City Council will prioritize spending for the next fiscal year. That is when we staff get that policy direction from the Council that is informed by those surveys that are out there today that we're encouraging the community to participate in. So with that feedback, we'll develop a proposed budget. So when you mention, as the priorities are coming in, some council members have priorities in terms of more street maintenance, maybe more bike lanes, and perhaps more affordable housing, then we have to take that into account in the development of the budget process. So once we do that, we come back to the community and the council the first week in August, August the 8th, and we'll make that proposal. Again, the community has an opportunity to give us their input on that proposal. And as you mentioned, council has also an opportunity to make budget amendments to that proposal and make some tweaks to that recommendation. And after about 30 days of deliberation, then the budget is approved on September 12th.
The city councilman, Greg Brockhaus, running for mayor, he's described the process of these amendments as the Hunger Games. So I was trying to, you know, I don't know what he meant by that. Any ideas? Like, you know, what does that mean?
Well, what Councilman Brockhaus has indicated, he wants us to start the process a little earlier, that budget amendment process. So we started the last budget cycle. We did that process a little earlier to give that opportunity to the council to have more time for discussion. Again, our goal is that in the June 21st goal setting session, we get their policy direction so we can craft the proposal reflecting their priorities. However, as we presented in August, they may still have some changes to make. So we have those 30 days for that deliberation and discussion and that opportunity to the council to make those adjustments.
So one of the priorities that you can choose in the survey is neighborhood improvements. Laura, what does that mean, neighborhood improvements? What's included in that?
Sure. So that's a great question. We have a neighborhood services department that focuses on outreach to neighborhoods, and they have several programs in place as well that address displacement or the risks associated with displacement. They also do improvements like our Under One Roof program and some other programming in those areas as well.
Seems like there's more and more demands on the city to come up with solutions to major issues. You know, affordable housing is a national problem. It's a national crisis, but we're feeling it at the city level, not getting a lot of leadership or funding at the federal level. And it's not something that you're going to be able to fund at the last minute amendment, because we're talking about a lot of money. So are you looking differently at affordable housing this time around than you have in the past, Maria?
We are. Actually, the mayor had a task force that was put together last year that came up with a plan to invest more in affordable housing. So there's been a lot of conversation with our community, and we know it's a priority. The current fiscal year 19 budget includes $25 million for affordable housing, and that includes funding for coordinated housing entry, for preservation and repair under one roof program, home buyer assistance, and also a mitigation fund. So as we continue the deliberations and the budget process, we know it's still a priority for the community. We have that plan from the housing task force that we will try to continue to address as we move through the process. However, funding is always a constraint for us, and so as we make those decisions, we need to look at how much available revenue we have.
I know, because you're talking about a lot of money, but even in with the, and it's hard for you to scrape these dollars together in the budget process and figuring out where we're going to find an extra $20 million to do with this. And but people are saying it's not enough because this is a problem that is wide in scope and has been not really dealt with for a long time. So there is a communication issue here that has to be addressed, Laura, in regards to like what the city is doing, what they have to work with, and what more can be done, right?
Sure. And that's something we try to do. A lot of our bond programs really augment what we do in the budgeting process. So as we've more than tripled our street maintenance budget over the years, as our residents speak up, we know that there's more to do. And that bond program is really what helps with those big reconstruction projects or major infrastructure changes in our community. But it's a give and take. There are a lot of priorities in our community, and we're a growing city that's supposed to welcome 1 million more by 2040. So we're balancing the needs of today with that growth that we're expecting as well.
And when people have a level of frustration, and they should understand that the city understands what's happening and is dealing with it.
And we're planning for the future, too.
Planning for the future. Okay, we're going to take a break. You can call in with your questions and comments. What are your priorities for the City of San Antonio's budget? Where do you want to see your dollars spent? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're early in the budget process, and this is how you get your items funded. When you come late to the party, there's not a whole lot of chips left. All the guacamole is already gone, so you want to get in there early. 210-614-8980. The source continues. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. City of San Antonio, last fiscal budget, or the one we're in right now, $2.8 billion. That was the largest operating portion, called the general fund, was earmarked at $1.26 billion for streets and infrastructure, public safety, and other city departments. And you can comment on how you want the budget allocated in the one that's being crafted right now. There is the outreach campaign for the city, SA Speak Up, and you can text them, and there's a whole operation. Some people, you know, are cynical, and they may think this is just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, and at the end of the day, my survey results aren't going to really matter a whole lot. So what can you tell them, Laura Mays, that's going to your communications manager for the City of San Antonio, what can you tell them about, you know, yeah, your voice matters?
Your voice really does matter. The survey effort for SA Speak Up has grown exponentially over the years. It started with a few thousand residents, and now more than 8,000 people participated in the last budgeting process. The greatest example is streets, like we just talked about. Residents over and over have told us streets, sidewalks, and infrastructure are their number one priority. And so we've invested more in those areas. And in fact, in the last couple of years, we've done that in a way that addresses the most need in the community rather than just trying to even out the money all the way around. We've really focused on those underserved areas to make sure everything is up to par. But when you speak up, it matters. And folks can skim our social channels right now and see their neighbors speaking up. We posted quite a few photos of residents sharing their budget priorities or talking about the services that they've used and want to see more investment in. So please speak up.
And you can speak up right now by giving us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can ask questions about why this thing gets funded and this other thing doesn't, and where you want to see those dollars going. And so, Maria Villagomez, with the You're a deputy city manager. Can you tell us more about what's happening with the legislature and what you're watching there?
Yes. Well, let me tell you, our general fund, as you mentioned, $1.26 billion. This is comprised of four major revenue sources. Property taxes makes up about 30% of the $1.26 billion. And then we have our CPS payment from the utility, another 30%, sales tax 25%, and then we have other revenues like EMS transport fees, telecommunication fees 15%. So as I mentioned, property tax making a large portion of our budget, 30% in the general fund. The legislative in Austin, the legislative session, they're discussing a bill, Senate Bill 2 or House Bill 2 as well, reducing the amount of money that municipalities can collect on property taxes. Today, we have a cap of 8%. The proposal is to reduce that to 2.5%. We understand that our residents have concerns with property taxes, but we would like the state to leave local control to our city council to make those decisions. So that reduction in the revenue cap will have a significant impact on our budget. We ran some numbers. If this particular cap would have been in place 10 years ago, the city would have lost over $300 million in revenue in our general fund. And today, our general fund of $1.26 billion would be closely about $45 million smaller. Just to give you an idea, our Parks and Recreation Department, they have a size of $53 million, so it's almost the entire size of the Parks and Recreation Department. So we're concerned. There's another proposal on the telecommunications revenues. We get roughly about $35 million annually in this line item. The current proposal will reduce that annual payment to the city to about $7 million. So we're concerned that if those legislative actions do pass, that would definitely have an impact on our ability to add more services within our budget.
And you wanted to add?
One thing to note, too, the way your property tax bill is split up, the city only collects about 20% of that bill. So while these bills at the legislature are promising a lot of savings, the average homeowner would only save a couple of dollars a month, whereas the city, as Maria discussed, would lose a significant amount of revenue. So they're not addressing the heart of the problem and bringing meaningful reform with these bills.
So what would it look like for the city of San Antonio if House Bill 2 or Senate Bill 2 becomes law and revenue is now curtailed? And where would you cut?
Well, that is a very good question. As part of the budget process, and we should know from the legislative, hopefully by the end of May, sometime of May, if this will become law. So on the property tax bill, the bill doesn't become into effect until fiscal year 2021, so it wouldn't have an impact right away on the city's revenue in fiscal year 2020. So once we have that bill finalized, we would have to be working with the community and the council to address that the impact to the budget.
And is the state promising any sort of harm reduction with being able to make up for the money that's being lost?
Not at this point.
So they're just concerned that property taxes are high, and there are, and people say that, you know, your appraisals are going up, and they are saying we need to put a stop to this, but they're not looking at what this would actually do to cities and their revenue and the services that they provide. And frequently cities are given unfunded mandates from the state, and they have to provide those things.
Correct.
And what do you think this is going to become law? I mean, where are we with this in the process?
You know, this has been discussed in prior years, but there's more momentum this year. So we think that there will be some type of limitation. We hope that it won't be 2.5%, that it will be a little bit higher than that. But there's a real possibility that that would happen. And as Laura mentioned, the property tax bill, the city of San Antonio makes up about 25%, but it has a big impact on our revenues.
Let me go to a caller. The number is 210-614-8980. And Mary, hi, Mary. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just going to ask, I was a contractor for the waste management. Why don't do you cut some unnecessary overtime?
Okay, Mary, thank you for the call. Unnecessary overtime for waste management. I don't know a lot of information in that call, but it does bring up to the point that a lot of the money that the city pays for, a lot in your budget, goes to salaries. And so you're a big employer in the city of San Antonio. And if something should happen to the fiscal health of the city of San Antonio, that would have major ripple effects throughout the local economy. Is this something that y'all think about or consider when it comes to, you know, putting together budgets?
We do. I mean, we review our entire city budget to identify any efficiencies and how can we be more effective in our service delivery. So that is something that we do every year, just to ensure that our services are provided in a very efficient manner. So we do that every year. You know, during the recession and as we reorganized the city, we were able to eliminate over 1,600 vacant civilian positions, added close to 600 new police officers and firefighters without any layoffs to our civilian employees. So we'll be able, we're cognizant of the impact that we have on the economy, and we try to minimize that as much as possible.
And just to be clear, I mean, do you know anything about the nuances of the overtime for waste management employees? Or it just, it's kind of like deep in the weeds, so.
You know, overtime is something that we use when absolutely needed. So in the case of our solid waste department that provides waste management, if we monitor that closely, and if we need to, for instance, if a route needs to be extended for recycling or garbage collection, we may approve additional overtime to complete that particular route. But something that we monitor closely and is not one of the largest expenses within our solid waste department.
But as the city of San Antonio is also under a lot of pressure to provide living wages for its employees, you know, so you want to make sure that people who work for the city of San Antonio, they receive benefits and they receive pay that is not poverty wages, right? So that's also something you have to consider.
Yes. And, you know, as a matter of fact, in the current fiscal year 2019, we were able to increase our living wage or our entry wage. That's what we call it.
It's something 15. The citizens have come to you and you know, petitioned for.
Cubs Metro, yes, that we're very active on that. So $15 is the entry wage for all of our city employees, our civilian full-time employees.
So you mentioned how the sales tax revenue is also one of the pillars of the financial budget. And how's that looking right now? And you have to depend on forecast.
Our sales tax revenues are coming in slightly ahead of budget, so that's positive. That shows that we have a strong local economy, and our residents feel confident in terms of spending. So we're not anticipating any challenges in that particular revenue source. Our CPS revenue is another story. We had a pretty mild winter, and the numbers are reflecting that.
But when it comes to sales tax, you never know what's going to happen with the retail economy. It's very volatile. If there is a hiccup in the overall economy, that's where we feel it first. And so if you have other issues, like with the capping the amount of money the city can make with revenue with property taxes, I mean, it's very volatile. And so the city's, and you have an emergency fund, though, right?
We have a budgeted financial reserve that we, it's about 10% of the total general fund budget. That is the reserve. And we have dedicated those funds in case there is, for instance, fluctuations in revenues that we may need to tap into that, or a natural disaster, perhaps, that we don't have sufficient funds to cover.
Which we've seen in the past, like, you know, with flooding and things.
Correct.
I think that's where that fund came from. And really quickly, how to get in contact to sound off on this?
Visit saspeakup.com, or you can text SASpeakup to 55000.
And you can speak up about where you want your dollars spent on San Antonio City Services and infrastructure development. I want to thank both of our guests. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.